Three people sit in a conference room with bricked-up windows in London. The slide projector clunks to an empty slide, and Angleton leans over to switch it off. For a moment, there's silence, broken only by the emphysemic rasp of Angleton's breathing.
Bastard.
Moe's voice is cold and superficially emotionless. We're going to get him back, Moe, I promise you. Barnes's voice is flat and assured.
But damaged?
Angleton clears his throat.
I can't believe you did this,
she says bitterly.
We didn't choose to, girl.
His voice is a gravelly rasp, hoarse from too many late-night meetings this past week.
I can't believe you let some snake oil defense contractor get the jump on you, using it as an excuse. Shit, Angleton, what do you expect me to say? The bait and switch you're planning is stupid enough to start with, and you've handed my boyfriend over to a sex vampire, and I'm supposed to lie back and think of England. You expect me to tamely pick up the pieces when she's finished banging his brains out and pat him on the head and take him home and patch his ego up? What am I meant to do? Turn into some kind of angel nurse childminder figure when all this is over? You've got a fucking nerve.
She's got the violin case by the neck, and she's leaning across the table towards Angleton, throwing the words in his face. She's too close to see Barnes staring at her fingers on the neck of the instrument case like it's the barrel of a gun, and he's trying to judge whether she's going to reach for the trigger.
You're understandably upset.
Understandably?
Moe stands up, shifting the case to the crook of her left arm as she toys with a clamp alongside its body.
Fuck you,
she snarls. Angleton pushes the file across the table at her.
Your tickets.
Fuck you and your tickets.
She's making chicken-choking motions with the fingers of her right hand, the other hand vaguely patting at the body of the violin case. Barnes slides to his feet, backing away, his right hand half raised to his jacket, until he catches Angleton's minute shake of the head.
And your fucking grade 6 gesh.
Her voice is firm, but congested with emotion.
I'm out of here.
She freezes in place for a moment, as if there's something more to say, then grabs the file and storms out of the conference room, slamming the door behind her so hard that the latch fails and it bounces open again. Barnes stares after her. Then, seeing the wide eyes and open mouth of the receptionist, he nods politely and pulls the door shut.
Do you think she'll take the assignment?
He asks Angleton.
Oh, yes.
Angleton stares bleakly at the door for a few seconds.
She'll hate us, but she'll do it. She's operating inside the paradigm. In the groove, as Bob would say. I was afraid for a minute that I was going to have to take her down, if she lost it completely. No.
Angleton gathers himself with a visible effort and shakes his head.
She's too smart. She's a lot tougher than you think. Otherwise, I wouldn't have put her on the spot like that. But don't sit with your back to any doors until this is all over and we've got her calmed down.
Barnes stares at the pitted green desktop.
I could almost pity that black chamber agent you've hitched Bob to. Those are the rules of the game.
Angleton shrugs heavily.
I didn't write them. You can blame Billington, or you can blame the man with the typewriter, but he's been dead for more than 40 years. O'Brien's not made of sugar and spice and all things nice. She'll cope.
He stares at Barnes bleakly.
She'll have to, because if she doesn't, we're all in deep shit.